Hi, I'm Paul, and this is another exciting episode of Logical Thinking. And today my guest is Charlie Freak. He has an amazing story about government overreach, corruption, and a long-standing history of being awake, not woke. You notice that I didn't say woke. I said awake. So without any further ado, let me bring him onto the program. Charlie, welcome to the show. I'm tickled to death. I mean, I've been bubbling about this program since we set it up, what, weeks ago?
Yep.
Yeah. It's been forever. You've got crazy things going on. You're south of the border, right?
Yeah, that's right. Colleen and I are originally from Canada, and approximately 12 years ago, we just said we cannot in good faith continue to participate in what we saw as clearly a satanic system. And what we felt that we just needed to get away. So we moved to Mexico and a really beautiful rural part of Mexico in the countryside and up in the mountains. And it's just really, really, really peaceful, quiet, beautiful, surrounded by nature and animals. And it's been an amazing journey. And so we did it principally so that we could discover our own spirituality and get closer to God in a world that was trying their darndest to hide God from, in our estimation, hide God from the masses and obfuscate the truth about what God is, what the sacred feminine is, what Jesus Christ is. And we just felt really obligated to try our best to set the record straight.
Yeah, but as it turns out, you kind of sort of jumped from the frying pan right into the middle of the fire.
Well, we have a reputation of telling the truth, and it seems like in this world that not lots of people are really interested in hearing the truth, as it tends to interfere with belief systems and lifestyles. And then, of course, if you're a monolithic demonic control body that is attempting to overwhelm freedom and create a prison state, well, then they really don't like that. So the story of our time here is really just incredible. It includes our home here in the countryside. And remember, again, where we live in Mexico, there's nobody around us. So we're really all alone here. It's wonderful. But we've been attacked at gunpoint. This is not like some local or something like this. This is well orchestrated. So we were attacked between August 31st and October 31st. We were attacked 10 times from outside the property with gunfire, and it was never meant to kill us. It was meant to scare us, and it was just the most incredible thing. So, and it's all culminated now to the incredible theft of our grandchild. Our daughter Sinead's son Dante, who's really, really a precious, special boy, and even though the courts have ruled that Dante is supposed to be in the marriage house with our daughter who has custody, we had an incredible situation where the ex, along with the help of the local police and local child services authority as well, were there. And so what they did in plain sight is, they had a device that cut down this very large metal door to the property. And, Sinead was panicking, called me. I came running. They live only about 300 yards. That house is only about 300 yards from ours. One of the few houses in this entire, rural area. And so I came running over. And I got there in time. The door had been cut off, and I got there in time to see the ex running from the house. He had punched our daughter and knocked her to the ground. And all of this is photographed and documented. The whole thing was being filmed. It's just incredible, sort of a surreal experience. And so as he was running with our grandson from the house towards where the door was cut open, I jumped in the way and blocked his escape. And only to my incredible surprise, because when I got there, I was quite pleased to see that the police were already there, because I'd asked Colleen to call the local police right away. And I was very surprised to find that two police officers grabbed me in a chokehold from behind and pulled me up away from the blocking the escape route and pulled me up against the property wall and held me there while the ex ran with our grandsons, who was screaming, to an awaiting vehicle driven by his mom that was running, and then off they went. And though we have a valid court order that says that obviously until everything is finally determined in this divorce that Sinead has the house with Dante, in custody of Dante, he's still in their hands, and they've been threatening to vaccinate Dante. Dante has not been vaccinated. He is a like us, he's a frugivore, so he he's still breastfeeding with Sinead, and so that's been interrupted for 23 days now. And they've been threatening to, you know, and won't let us see him. And the one video that was mandated that to be sent showed what Dante appears to be in a drug state. And their particular family, they're big with growing cannabis, and they use cannabis for a variety of things. And it's pretty clear that in these images, because that just is just not the way Dante looks or acts. We would know. So it appears that to calm him from probably screaming, and because again, the thing that everyone just needs to know, let me encapsulate with this. Dante is only 23 months old. And in the 23 months that Dante has been born, he's only really seen his father about, I would say maybe a total of 10 times. And in the previous, the very formative previous 9 months, he had not seen his father at all. So when these people break into his house and take him, a 23 month old child who hasn't seen his father in 9 months has really little or no ability to be able to process what's going on, who these people are, and why his whole life has been his mom, Sinead, and then Colleen and I, who are his grandparents, has been his whole life. And so he has no access to that at all. And then they're carnivores. And so it's just been an incredible process. So we've gone through three Mexican lawyers, all three provably. We'll deal with them as the time presents itself. We went through three Mexican lawyers who betrayed us. And I guess it's common. They were approached by the other side and paid by the other side to essentially work for them. Just incredible. And then really a miracle occurred, and that's when same time that we were put in contact with you, Paul, which has just been wonderful as well. At the same time, a mutual friend put us in contact with a very powerful Mexican federal national Mexican political figure, a senator from Mexico City, who is a very, very strong, goodly person. And so I contacted him. He was very, very kind to take our call and listen. And he put us in contact with two very, very close friends. They're basically almost like his godsons, how both referred to one another. And it's a very prestigious law firm in the city of Cuernavaca. And we're in the state of Morelos, which is about 2 hours south of Mexico City. And Cuernavaca is the principal city in our little state of Morelos, and it has about 1 million people. And this law firm is very, very well thought of because they can't be bought off. And one of the two lawyers was actually mayor of Cuernavaca for a number of years, where he was known for cleaning up a lot of crime. And so in the last 10 days since he's taken over, things have really, really begun to move. But as I was talking to you earlier, Paul, what we've had to do, which was your recommendation from the beginning, was we really needed to take this internationally. So the very first thing that he's done, he's gone directly to the Human Rights Commission in Washington, D.C. And then he's also simultaneously fined with the Human Rights Commission in Mexico City and then here in our own state as well, because from the very beginning, all of Sinead's human rights here in Mexico have been massively violated by the police, by the court system, by the district attorney's office. Every single aspect of this case thus far has been purely, entirely corrupt because it can be bought off. And so the approach from our new lawyer is that you, in Mexico, to get justice, you get international credibility and international support, and then you bring that light upon this corruption, and then they act, because with that level of awareness to what they're doing and how corrupt things are, then they're forced to deal with this. And so that's sort of where we are right now, and it's day 23 of Dante not being returned. Sinead has not seen Dante for 23 days. It's just incredible. And there's no real end in sight, other than we now have a process in motion to do this. And so it's our position, as we've shared with you, is that what Colleen and I are fully preparing to do is to expose all of this on an international scale and then take everyone to task. So right now it's just only about Dante and getting Dante back and making sure that he's home safe and sound. We've taken big steps to protect the property and to have consistent surveillance of the property as well, in preparation for Dante's return. But after that, we're going after everyone, and we're going to bring down Mexico. We're going to bring down this facade that appears that there is a government for the people, but there's not. And appears that there is a judicial system to protect a concept of law and fairness for everyone, but there's not. And really all there is corruption, and whoever has the money and really, I guess, sort of the power to scare people, they have power in Mexico, and those that don't have zero power in Mexico. And then the last little piece of this puzzle that I'll just throw in is that the Canadian embassy has absolutely turned us adrift. And in fact, with the last phone call, told us not to phone back, not to come by, because the Canadian embassy said this is not what they do. And it, of course, is exactly what an embassy is supposed to do. It absolutely is. And they said this is not what an embassy does, and we have no staff to be able to help you. And Colleen asked, well, do you have recommendations that, you know, we can go? And they're like, no, we can't help you in any shape, fashion, or form. So the lawyer is just outraged by all of this as well, including with the embassy and the government of Canada, because we've approached from family and relatives in Canada, and they've absolutely turned us adrift. And Canadian media is resistant to take up the story and run with it. And it should be front page news. This should absolutely be front page news in Canada. And Canadian citizens are great. Canadian people are absolutely good souls. And they would absolutely rally around this and put enormous pressure. But there, once again, just seems to be a hidden hand behind all of this that is preventing justice. And as Colleen and I have sort of always shared with everyone, this evil that exists in the world has all been about attacking us and attacking our children. And it's just incredible that all of this ends up playing itself out at our front doorstep, involving, you know, our grandson. So
at this time in history too.
Yeah. In this time in history. Exactly.
Yeah. So you've actually got, you've got the whole North American continent pretty much that's going to be taken to task with this, because the ambassadors, the embassy staff, they failed to uphold their civic duty to protect Canadian citizens or to act on behalf of Canadian citizens. If they took an oath to get in their office, and I believe they did, they broke it. So are you familiar with the website bondsforthewin.com?
Absolutely. And this is how everything works. And this is all sort of based on the system, the hidden system behind all things, which is the Maritime Admiralty Law System and how it works. It's all about creditors and debtors. And when you're a child of God born, you're guaranteed freedom by God. And so when we're created as creditors, and you cannot be a debtor, because you cannot be in debt to any other man when God is your creator and the provider of all that is. So you're free. And that's where our true freedom comes from. And so we have this world, And this is how Colleen and I describe it. There's an earth, which is very, very real and very perfect in every single way. And then there's a shadowy layer that has obfuscated the earth and the truth for the last 1,000 years, 6,000 years in particular, with technology, the last 110 years. Really, you just need to look at this from the appearance of Einstein and the theory of relativity has been game on, full speed ahead by the evil ones to obfuscate the truth and obfuscate this perfect earth.
And well, didn't Einstein eventually admit that the theory of relativity doesn't work because it doesn't take into account quantum theory?
Yes, and Einstein was always long before a proponent, of course, of ether. That's all that we've ever known. It's all that was ever taught, and now it's like nobody even knows about ether and what the ether is. And so, and of course, this is what Nikola Tesla.
Well, yeah, we know the ether is something because Nikola Tesla was pulling energy out of it.
That's right.
For free.
That's right. Yeah, and like in Time magazine in the 1930s, Tesla famously quoted when asked about Einstein's theories of special and then general relativity, he said that he likened it to a beggar taken off of the skid row off the streets and washed up and dressed in royal purple garb and made and presented as a king. And he said, but it's still just a beggar from Skid Row. And he said, that's his opinion of a special and general relativity. And so what Tesla's always been a proponent of is level Earth, the firmament, and of course the ether. And that's what Tesla said. The ether is a downward causation of electrical force from the firmament, which is a magnetic boundary. And that is sort of at the center of the Earth. And then all around us is this magnetic force that encapsulates everything. And inside of that, we play out as these electrical beings attempting to find ourselves back to the magnetic truth, magnetic north of our reality. And so that's what Tesla describes. So does Tesla describe the stars as essentially holes in the firmament? The sun and the moon they exist inside the firmament. They're the same size, the same distance away, only about 50 miles away from us, and that they are suspended with magnetic levitation, which is what all these alien crafts that people see and then think must be from another world, another galaxy, because it's just incredible. But it's just magnetic levitation. This is simple, practical, common science, but it's been obfuscated from you. So then you think that this is really special and dramatic, and therefore it has to be from some genius culture, gajillions of light years away, when no, it's us. And everything is here at our fingertips for us to utilize freely forever.
Right. So I saw a video, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I do want to touch on this. I saw a video not too long ago that showed a rocket being launched into space, and at about the 74-mile mark, that rocket just all of a sudden stopped and continued to rotate slowly. Now, with what you say about the firmament being a magnetic shield over a magnetic dome, that would work because a rocket would fly into that magnetic field and then get grabbed and held. The picture was not interrupted. The rocket didn't blow up. It didn't break into 1,000 little fragments or pieces. It just stopped. So that makes perfect sense that it wouldn't actually be a hard shield. It would be a magnetic barrier.
Exactly. And again, this is that all of this truth that Colleen and I teach and share and people are so blown away with. Again, we take zero credit for it because it all comes from, well, it comes from within, but it comes from the giants, the legends, the geniuses who came before us, which is our ancient past, which was the truth, which has all been obfuscated. Now we're taught, you know, our history. The older you go, the more idiotic man was. And, you know, these apes running around and didn't know how to do anything. The fact of the matter is that we've been turned into apes, aping whatever the government or these corporation-based schools teach. we just blindly ate. And so we've been turned into the allegory of an ape, and we ate whatever we're told by people who wear authority upon their brow, instead of attaching ourselves to our wonderful past, which has been hidden through what's called history. And of course,
history,
that's right. And the origins of history is called history because it's God's story, his story, which is the truth, which is the way, which is Jesus Christ, which is Jesus never did anything but teach and tell the truth. So he was the light. He was the light. He was the way because he taught the truth. And that's God's story. And that's his story. So they've created their version of his story with their story, kill brackets, their story, and everything is a lie. And those very first videos that Colleen and I did 5 years ago when we came forward and created our YouTube channel and started, very first 7 shows we did, everything you know is a lie. And we mean everything. Now would you like to hear the truth? And so where does this wisdom or genius that people like to sort of try and credit us with, where does it come from? It comes from God. It comes from Christ. It comes from the teachings of Christ, the actions of Christ in the Bible. It comes from Nikola Tesla. It comes from Pierre Beauchamp. It comes from Antonio Gaudi. It comes from the Hopi Indians. It comes from the AB originals, the Aboriginals of Australia. It comes from all of our story past. It comes from ancient Greece. It comes from Atlantis. And it
comes from inner knowing and a connection to the Akashic records.
Thank you. Very, very. I didn't know how far to take this, but that's exactly where it comes from.
We can go as far as you want to go. I'm telling you. Now, this is an interesting photo. I did want, when we were talking about the sun and the firmament and the sun being magnetically held under the firmament. These are rays of the sun, and they're completely vertical. They're rays shining through the clouds. And these are the rays that are shining through the clouds this way. And these are the rays that are shining through the clouds this way. And I don't know if you've ever shined a flashlight at a wall, but how can the sun be 93 million miles up here? Yeah, okay, I had my mouse cursor on the wrong screen. Oh, well, okay. These are the rays coming down this way. These are the rays straight up and down. These are the rays going that way. How can the sun be 93 million miles up here if the point of origin is right about here?
And of course, for those that have spent time on the water, larger bodies of water, what you'll constantly see are sunspots constantly on the ocean or lakes, larger lakes. And that's impossible to have a million mile wide object 93 million miles away sending these vertical perpendicular lines of light to us. It's absolutely impossible to have hot spots or sunspots on the earth at all. So it's a massive lie, and we don't laugh at other people or judge other people for falling prey and victim to this. When you live in a system that attacks you from the moment you're born, and I mean, that's what the Maritime Admiralty Law system and your birthing certificates are all about. That's all you are to them, are your birthing certificates. That's why your parents cannot, absolutely cannot take you out of a hospital until such time that they have signed you over, literally signed you over as a 3-name, all capitalized letter, corpse oration. Corp means death. And so they have created a veneer, a layer, a world that obfuscates the earth. And it is a dead fiction. Mm-hmm. It's death. And it's called the Maritime Admiralty Water System, the Maritime Admiralty Law System. And we have straw men identity because we're actually not real. Our free dome, right? So again, this is your dome. This is, by the way, this is level earth. If you just knew yourself a little bit better, you would see. If you looked at your eyeballs, and if we took a bird's eye view to your eyeball and just look at your eyeballs, there is level earth. And you can see the white of the Antarctic ice wall all the way around. You can see the blue oceans. And then in the very center, you can see the land mass in there as well. So it's encoded in our eyes. And if you knew your physiology a little better, you would know that right here where the third eye chakra is what's called, right here, it's called the sphenoid bone. And the sphenoid bone is a round, level, plain bone inside your head that connects to every other single bone. It's the only bone in your head that connects to every other single bone in your head. And it's called the sphenoid bone. And it has the lesser wings and the greater wings, which holds the Ark of the Covenant. This is, if you're wondering where the Ark of the Covenant is, it's inside of you, easily proved, easily shown.
What have they done? They've decoded the actual first few values in the DNA for humanity.
Right.
They decoded it, and every single DNA strain says God eternal within the body.
That's right.
Everyone, every race, every color. Wow.
Yeah. And so the Bible reads as in many ways, because it's poetically graceful and beautiful, but it's also the most prolific sort of science and mathematical treatise that has ever existed as well. This is serious, serious stuff. It's just that it's all done in allegories. It's an allegorical allegorical tales like Jonah and the great fish are done so that you'll never forget. So this could be passed on from father to child, from mother, father to children, and they'll never miss the message. So Jonah goes in, he's in great distress, and he is a disbeliever in God, and he's upon the stormy seas, which are inside of, that's his mind living in his left hemisphere of his brain. And then he falls over the side of his vessel. So that's you. So that's falling out of God in the right hemisphere of your brain and falling into hell, which is the left hemisphere of your brain. That's the dying brain, the 10%. That's where 10% tithing comes from. That's what you tithe to God, is the thinking brain, that dying left brain where your ego exists. And that's why Jesus Christ teaches prolifically in the Bible, take no thought for your life. So the right brain is not a thinking brain. It is a receiver that receives perfection and grace, because that's comes from God. And God is in the 90%, nine, which is divine, which is the letter I, which is the ninth letter of the alphabet. And that is the single I. It's a single I above a temple, which, and these are your two temples. So in the Bible, 1 Kings, describing Solomon's temple, you are Solomon's temple. They are describing you from here in to here. This is the third ventricle of your brain. This is where the optic thalamus is. This is your pineal gland. This is your pituitary gland. This is the hypothalamus. This is where melatonin, serotonin, dopamine are secreted within the endocrine system. Glands are G-lands, God-lands, and these are secretions, secret ions, secret I, the single hidden ion, secret ion, secretions, that are gifted to you. They give you eternal life and perfect health, but you have to stop eating Cheetos, and you have to stop drinking beer, and you have to stop doing all of these things from the hands of man, which are this distraction. It's all this gray rain curtain obfuscation veil of the world that separates us from God. It keeps pulling us out there. There's a great scene from Michael Corleone in Godfather 3, Francis Ford Coppola, total patriot, by the way, everyone, total man of God, total patriot. every movie that he ever did is telling you what the cabal is, who the cabal are, and how the cabal function. And the Godfather series is, you know, he and Puzo created basically masterpieces encapsulating who the real mafia is, how it all works. And you know, Godfather 3 lays it all out on the line. The higher I go, all my life, Connie, all my life, I've attempted to get out of this, and I just wanted to go higher and higher in society so we could be free of all of these criminals and just be a clean family again. But he said, the higher I go, the more corruption exists. The Pezza Navante, these are the new fish. Pezza Navante, the new fish. These are the hidden hands behind this earthly power. Popes and mafia families and corporations. And there's a hidden hand, Pezza Navante, behind all of it. And they're the real demons. And so Michael Corleone says, every single time I think I'm out, they pull me back in again. And that's how this world works. Every time you retreat via meditation into the temple, the beautiful, perfect temple of your inner mind where God exists in the mercy seat inside of you.
The phone rings.
The phone.
Yeah, every time you're able to pull yourself out of the fiction and the mess, something happens to suck you back into it.
Just take a look in the new Matrix Resurrections film with this obfuscation of Trinity as Tiffany. And every time Neo begins to draw Trinity back into who she really is, then I have to go. A child, my child, my youngest shoved a piece of Lego up his nose. And so this is showing you how the system works. Every time you start to get clear in your mind and closer towards this truth, then certain events happen in your life by the hidden hand. How could that possibly have happened? But it did. And then you become distracted. You're pulled away. And then you just get further and further and further away. And this is taking you off that path that is straight and narrow to the path that is broad and spacious. And as Jesus teaches in the New Testament, the path that is broad and spacious every single time will lead to certain destruction, leads you to a cliff, and you're hanging by roots at the edge of a cliff with a massive fall before you. Or you stay focused on the path straight in front of you. And the thing again about this truth with God, and it's built into all of our creation, just making this the concept of the Big Bang and evolution, all this nonsense, making it just such an observable joke, is how everything proves God as creator, as this brilliant design, as this divine creation of infinite genius, and how everything is connected. And so you just look at your eyesight. And of course, in cities, it doesn't really work because they've got obfuscations, which are these high rises everywhere. But if you remove yourself from your view being blocked, then you would come back to grips with how your vision works. And our vision is called perspective vision. And everything with our two eyes that we see out. So there's one eye that we know with. And then there's two eyes that we see with, but it's this eye that we need to operate from because it cannot be obfuscated. But when with our out there vision, the two eyes, everything runs to a vanishing point upon the level in the distance to a single dot, to a single point, until everything vanishes in a single dot. Now that dot has been taught by every culture. This is not the genius of Charlie Freak. This is just learning from the true geniuses and the masters who came before, which is every single culture who taught this. And this is called the monadic point or the monadic circle. Mono, one, God, middle level earth, center of the earth. There's not a north pole and a south pole. That's why you can never have a compass measure south pole. And they come up with all these excuses as to maybe why that is, because it keeps moving. Bullshit. Then your compass needle would just keep moving too. There's only one magnetic source on this earth, and that is Mount Meru. That is this journey to the center of the earth, as Jules Verne told us, taught us in plain sight.
Yeah, so in layman's terms, when a compass needle points south, it never points south. It's always pointing away from north. So when that compass goes haywire, the closer you get to the South Pole, the farther you are away from magnetic north, and the less force that compass has to react against. If there was a North Pole and a South Pole, that compass would be accurate. And if for no other reason, just purely by distance, it would be a little fuzzy at what they call the equator, which is on every globe that's in every single classroom from kindergarten all the way through higher education. Now, who would have to push a narrative, to affirm a narrative so much that they actually had globes in every school, every classroom, and a lot of them in every office, because you can buy one for your office. Do you have a globe in your office?
Virtually everybody does. It's incredible. And remember, everyone, the very first movie that Hollywood ever made, which was, there was no talkies back then. The very first movie was Man on the Moon. The very first movie that Hollywood made is Man on the Moon. They have been pushing this out there narrative forever because God exists within you in stillness and silence in the very center of you. And so the journey to the center of the earth is out there on this earth, and you're not allowed to go there. And you wouldn't want to because it's all freezing cold and nope.
Yeah. Well, and they also want us to believe that we're completely insignificant and that there are millions of other beings that are infinitely more advanced than we are, that are just outside our solar system, and that one of these days they're going to show up in their ships and they're going to blow us to oblivion, and we should fear them. Trust the government, because the government's going to protect us from the bad guys that are up there. But we should fear them. We should trust them. But it's those guys that have been doing medical experiments on people without saying they're doing it since, what, the 40s?
Long time ago. Vivisection has been around for a long time.
But they're going to save us. That's what I heard, and I believe it. Just like Social Security is going to be there when it comes time for me to collect. Yeah. I believe it. You had mentioned the mafia, and that's just another faction. And I also want to mention the Shire 777. That's paypal.me/the Shire 777. That is the only way that you've been able to receive support?
Yeah, our Patreon accounts were shut down.
Okay.
With no advance warning, and all the list of people who are on our Patreon was taken, not divulged to us, and so, and everything that we've tried since then has been taken down. And of course, recently when this started 23 days ago, a friend of ours in Canada created on a really beautiful Christian site, Give Send Go, and it's wonderful because whatever fee is charged for this process of being able to receive the funds and then direct the funds to your bank account, they allow you to choose what you would what that percent should be, from 1 to 99, and it's entirely up to you. Now that is a beautiful thing versus these cabalistic GoFundMe and all of these other cabalistic organizations that just finite, that it's going to be 5% or 5 plus fees plus, and then they're just nickel and diming you to death with all of these charges. So and even it was incredible because PayPal was even shut down for us, and PayPal at the height of this COVID nonsense, PayPal shut down our account and said that it needed to have more information about why people were sending us donations and what our business was, and that we had 30 days in which to do this, or they were going to seize the funds and close the account. So we contacted PayPal, and the phones responded with a message saying, due to COVID, we have nobody on the phones, and please contact us via message, email, and here's the email address. And then, so we sent a detailed message off explaining to these doughheads what is going on, and that we just take care of animals here, and we teach the truth. And these are just donations. We don't have a business, don't want a business. It's just all free donations. We don't charge for anything. It's just whatever. If anyone wants to share, they can. We don't restrict any of our gnosis from anyone, the way it should be. And so what ended up happening is that we sent the email, and then the email got returned to us saying, due to COVID, there's no one to respond. Now, we saved these emails, so this is all verified, that due to COVID, there's no one to respond to these emails. Please try phoning us at this number. And then you phone the number. Due to COVID, there's nobody on the phone. So it was incredible. So we had 30 days. They're going to take all of our funds and all this stuff. And we had no way of contacting them. And really incredibly, once again in our lives, somebody presented themselves out of the thin air, out of the ether, and said, I think I can help you. And I believe I can get in contact with PayPal and explain your situation to them. And about 10 days later, suddenly our PayPal account started to work again. It's just incredible. So we, Colleen and I, have been attacked in every single way possible by these forces out there. And simply because we're unrelenting in teaching this ancient truth. And you know, I mentioned earlier, and I want to make this really clear, three names that from the 1800s and 1900s that are true geniuses and should have been the defining agents of our current reality. And these three are Antonio Gaudi, who was the Catalan in Barcelona, the Barcelonian genius, everything, engineer, architect, whatever you want to call him. And everything that Gaudi built, he built through Phi, which is the outward spiral of God's creation and all of creation, which is the golden ratio of 1.618. So this is how Gaudi was able to create these phenomenal structures without all of these supporting cardenas or beams and concrete and rebar and all this stuff that had to be there. He did it all with spans. He did this all with arches. He did this all at the golden ratio of 1.618. And that's if you go to a beach and you look at a seashell, like a nautilus shell is the best example of that. It's easiest to see. But all of God's creation, physical creation in the out there, all starts with a single dot, which would be the monadic dot, the monadic point of all creation, which is God, all things. And then it spirals out in a clockwise direction at 1.618, all creation. That's how Gaudi created, was able to create his incredible structures. And most people have no idea who or what Antoni Gaudi, who he is and what he represented. And he represented God. And his creation of La Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, he's done so many other things. But that is his opus work, which is the Sacred Family. And he's talking about God. He's talking about the sacred masculine, the sacred feminine, and the child, Christ, our Christ, our Lord. That is genius that our current system has no idea. And that's why in the bones of the structure, he encapsulated how in the future they would be able to do with their limited technology, if they refuse to accept his, how they in the future would be able to complete La Sagrada Familia, which has not happened. And they absolutely know how to do it because he left it all there for them to do, and they haven't done it. And nobody sort of bats an eye at this. But Gaudi's a genius. Gaudi should have been the architect of a world that is arches and smooth and round and
in perfect balance
and flowing in perfect balance, connected to the mountains and trees growing out of the center of any of these structures. It's just perfect genius, and he was a man of God.
Okay. Then you connected to the ether.
Yeah, it connected to the ether, and taught all of this as well. And Gaudi absolutely taught new level Earth and the firmament, and with that we are at the center of all things. It was, and that is the basis to his architecture, is that we are at the center of all things. We are the pinnacle of God's creation.
Wow. Who's number two?
And that would be Pierre Beauchamp. And Pierre Beauchamp is a French everything. He had 56 different degrees. You talk about genius of geniuses. Beauchamp and Tesla just kept passing compliments back and forth to one another as who was the real genius kind of thing. And remember, when Einstein was asked, what does it feel like to be the smartest man in the world? He said, I have no idea. You'd have to ask Nikola Tesla. That's verifiable. And so Beauchamp was a biologist, was a chemist, was a theory, just everything. And so what Beauchamp taught is the opposite of who replaced him, which became Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur teaches what we now have, which is a death culture and a death food cycle, so that we're fragile, we're just worthless, stupid, useless, and that out there are these infinite enemies against us, these little bacteria and germs, and they're microscopic, and you can't see them, but trust me, they're there, and they're evil, and they're coming to get you, and that the only way to protect ourselves against these things is to cook everything and to burn everything. And so like it's like you go to the store and you buy orange juice because you really want real orange juice, something that'll really heal you, and it's got pulp in it. But it's like, no, it's completely useless because they burnt it. That's what the pasteurization process is to kill all life, all healing forces, all elements of the sacred feminine mother, which is eternal life because she's magnetic. She's a scalar wave, which is an eternal eight, which is magnetism. Magnetism is scalar waves, also known as Tesla waves, because Tesla devoted his life to magnetism, not electricity, magnetism, because magnetism is the magic, MAGA, make America great again. Mag is where all of this, and in Sanskrit, mag, going all the way back to the root, Sanskrit, mag means motion, mother, Mary, mare, which are the oceans, the middle way, the heart chakra, 4 of 7. And again, the letter M is 13 of 26 in the alphabet, which is once again, the middle. The mother is always the middle plane, which is our level green living earth. And so along comes Louis Pasteur to destroy everything that Pierre Beauchamp taught. So what did Beauchamp teach? He taught life. Beauchamp said that we are frugivores. So we eat living foods. You don't kill, you don't murder, and then you don't eat rotting flesh. Even carnivores don't do that. They're blood lappers. That's what a carnivore does. They hunt their prey and then they lap the blood. Which, by the way, these vampires who control, who are the hidden hand behind all of these fake governments in the world, isn't that what they do? Isn't that what they do? That they hunt prey, which is the smallest, weakest, purest of us, and then drink their blood? I think so. And do you ever notice how the coronavirus, when it came out, it was one word. It was coronavirus, one word, which is very odd. So then Colleen and I were the first to break it down. And what we found is that it's an anagram for carnivorous. That's who they are. Those who prey upon us and consume us. Cain ate Abel. Cain didn't just murder Abel. Cain ate Abel. That's where the word cannibal comes from. Cannibal is Cain ate Abel. That's so, as Paul knows, this goes right back. This is biblical. This is all biblical. This is an ancient struggle between good and evil. This goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. And Cain snuck up from behind Abel because he was jealous of Abel's divinity before God and killed him, but never buried the corpse because Cain ate Abel, cannibal. And this is where cannibalism comes from. These are the Canaanites who were cast out. Because remember, God cast Cain out of Eden. Why? Because Cain's plan was to then murder Adam and then to take his mother Eve as a sex slave and force impregnate her with his demonic seed and then create this satanic bloodline that would then rule the world. Again, am I not just telling you what's going on in the world right now? Is this not an allegory for the royal families everywhere and the satanic seed that they're trying to spread?
Absolutely is.
It's incredible.
Now, I want to make sure that everybody knows that we're clear here. We're just talking about the difference between good and evil. We are not talking about any particular dogmatic religion. We're not talking about any creation of man. We are talking about connection with source, connection with spirit, the God within. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. Colleen and I have no affiliation with any religion. So again, you look at the teachings of Zoroaster, and they're perfect. But Zoroastrianism, somehow along the way, got the waters got muddied, and it is what it is. And the teachings of Krishna — Krishna means Christ, by the way, just so you know — the teachings of Krishna and the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita is perfection upon earth. But Hinduism is complete and utter bullshit. Because that's an organized religion. And then the teachings and the word and the actions of Siddhartha Gautama, who is the Buddha, are perfect. But Buddhism is full of shit because it's an organized religion. And Christianity, this Western Christianity, which is all based upon the Catholic Church, that somehow, you know, Peter had the ministry of Jesus and just happened to march to Rome of all places and create St. Peter's Basilica, and that they own the franchise rights to the truth of Jesus Christ. And then they have the worst demonic spawn on this earth in control of Jesus Christ, which is the Order of Jesus. And those are the Jesuits, who are the worst demonic satanic beasts on this earth. And they are the Order of Jesus because they have to control the truth of Jesus, because Jesus they fear and they hate more than anything, because he was the bionic man, because he told the truth. He couldn't be defeated. And Jesus Jesus wasn't forced to die upon a cross. He allowed himself to die upon a cross to set in motion a 2,000 year plan that is coming to fruition now.
And when he walked on water, he didn't literally walk on water. He walked on the seas of Admiralty Law. Exactly. He walked above the Admiralty Law and the law of man, because he walked
with the law of God. The laws of God, which are the only laws that can possibly exist. And once again, as you will find again and again and again, is what Colleen and I teach, is that the truth of God is so simple. And then the Kabbalistic veneer school teachings, they're all so complicated because they're all theories, and they have to be theories because they're not truth. Truth is simple.
That's why they call it theology.
Because it's a theory. So once again, to all of our beautiful, beautiful friends out there who define themselves as Buddhists, go back and simply observe the simple truth. Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, is a Christ-like individual who did this work, who walked upon the maritime admiralty waters and was a sovereign man who walked above, who walked with God, hand in hand with God. And his teachings are perfect. I am a disciple of Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. I absolutely am. And I'm also a disciple and a friend and a follower of Krishna. And I am a follower of Zarathustra and Zoroaster of the Persian tradition. And I am absolutely an apostle, a disciple of Jesus Christ in the living flesh. And I go to war for Jesus Christ every day to shine the light his way, which is the truth, which is simple, which is your friend. And this is what you got with Antonin Gaudi. You had simple, genius, brilliant truth where there was nothing he couldn't build. And then Pierre Beauchamp, teacher of life, that we are frugivores, that we eat living foods, and that we are alkaline. And so what Beauchamp taught, so everyone gets this, this is the complete opposite of Pasteur. Beauchamp taught living foods, and when we are in an alkaline state, which how many scientists, you know, Royal Reich and all the rest of them who were curing cancer back in the 20s and the 30s, who all talked about this as well. If your physiology is alkaline, you can't get sick. You can't get sick. We can't get sick in an alkaline state. So you can only get sick if your body suffers from what's called acidosis. So there is no cancer. There is acidosis. And that is chronic acidity within your body. Meat, dairy, eggs, massive, massive sources of acid. And all you have to do is just science. Just take a form of acid and apply it to virtually any substance, and then just observe what it does. And this is why our teeth are suffering, because God in his wildest dreams never, ever thought that we living beings who ate living foods would ever eat death and then pour battery acid onto our teeth. And this is where cavities come from. And you don't need to go to a dentist because your teeth will heal themselves as soon as you stop putting battery acid on them and making your mouth alkaline, then it'll heal itself. There's infinite channels on YouTube alone that will show you the miracles.
I have my own little desktop supply of Bob's Red Mill baking soda. I put a pinch in my coffee every time I get a cup.
Absolutely. Baking soda, sodium bicarbonate is pure alkalinity. And so if you want to defeat cancer, even if you want to continue to partake in some of the things that aren't good for you, sodium bicarbonate. And how much does it cost?
Yeah, I mean, even Bob's Red Mill, what is it, $5 a pound? $4 or $5 a pound? That's cheap. I'm still using the same pound that I bought, 6 months ago. Even I can afford that.
Yeah.
You know? But this program is not intended to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure any disease. As usual, as always, viewers are directed to consult their own professional sources before acting on any information presented here. But do the research. Figure it out for yourself. You have health, freedom of choice. This program is presented for information purposes only. The statements made herein have not been evaluated by any agency and should not be considered professional, legal, or medical advice. Viewers are directed to consult their own professional sources before acting on any information presented here.